Hey everyone, welcome to the Operation Dichotomy podcast, where our mission is to bridge the gap between you and me by embracing a culture of listening. As usual, I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Jedediah Kim. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, Paul. Hey everyone, what's up? It's good to be with you as always. Always happy to come and talk and get real with Operation Dichotomy, so it's great.
Perfect. Last week, we talked about the pro-life, pro-choice, single-issue voting. And I don't know about you, JD, but I got some feedback. Most of it was actually pretty good. Yeah, most of it was pretty good, where people were like, thanks for talking about things that a lot of times people don't talk about. And I feel like more than the position or the stance that either of us took, people just appreciate the fact that we're able to have that conversation at all, and to publicly put it out there that there is another side to it, and potentially take the harsh response that might arise. I'm sure some people filter some stuff as well. I don't know. But yeah, so I feel like we're having conversations, we're learning to listen, and it's even more important, I would say, today. Today, as we're recording this, it's Friday, October 30th, which means that it's almost time for our voting season to be done. By the time this podcast is released on Tuesday, it will be November 3rd, and it will be Election Day. And I imagine a lot of fun things are going to be happening. I saw some news in LA where people were boarding up their stores. Boarding up their stores in preparation for whatever happens in the election. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about all this stuff, man. Like, we're about to go into one of the most controversial elections that I've ever experienced in my short life. What do you make of all this? What are some things that we got to think about? Let's just dive right in.
Yeah, man, I'm curious as we continue to talk about this, but I'm curious to hear, what was some of the other feedback related to our previous conversation? You said most of it was good. What was some of the stuff that people found challenging? And mostly as a period of listening, because I'd love to be able to hear that. All feedback is good and appreciated.
Yeah, I think the one that stuck out to me the most was this girl. She is in Boston, I want to say. I forget. She goes back and forth between Boston and New York. And she was just very grateful that we shared that perspective, because the specific clip that I talked about and shared was where we were talking about how when it comes to the pro-life, pro-choice discussion with regard to abortion, we as in society as a whole, particularly Christians, often tend to oversimplify it, right? Like, it's just killing a baby, end of story. You're going to hell, you're the devil, you die, F you, right? That's usually the end of the conversation. And she was just like, man, people don't understand the details and the depths of what surrounds these situations. And I feel like you even mentioning that from the perspective of someone who's heard and I don't want to say witness, because I wasn't the one to witness the cases, but I heard about these cases from my wife, who personally heard of and dealt with them. It was just refreshing to her that, man, this whole group of people, they're so single issue and blinded by everything else, but now we're actually talking about it. So thanks for talking about it.
Word. It's awesome.
And it's like, awesome. Yeah. And then there's another one where a guy, there's all these random people that I don't talk to for years. It's the funniest thing. And then they see it and then they respond. But he was just asking for examples. Like, what were some of the specific examples that were really complicated that you can't tell what to do? And we started to get into conversation. But the point is, I feel like it did what we were trying to do, which is engage, talk, learn, be open-minded. It was just good. I appreciated all of that.
Cool, man. Yeah, and to all the listeners out there, like, we really appreciate that feedback and response. And like I've said before, and Paul said before, if you guys have a topic or something you want us to talk about, like, let us know about it. You know, we're two guys who are really willing to just dive in and be honest and hear each other. And honestly, we do that because we care about it, care about each other. On most days, we care about each other. No, I'm just kidding. On all days we care about each other, but we also want to model what it looks like, you know, to be able to have hard conversations. And so That's really great that people out there are listening and giving us feedback. So the election's coming up. This is what I want to say. You know, as I've been thinking about it, like my mind and my heart, like dare I say my soul has been kind of heavy. I think that a lot of people have just a lot of fear and anxiety wrapped up. And regardless of who wins or loses, like there's going to be an impact that happens on a significant group of people. And it's been interesting kind of reading like some of the literature and the new stuff that's out there right now. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he was saying how like one particular thing that he saw, this article was citing like how this organization had run, I think it was a university or something, I can't remember, but they had run different like war game type scenarios on what happens with the elections, who wins, who loses. And it was like 9 out of 10 scenarios included like violence in the streets, significant civil unrest. You know, Walmart had reports earlier this week, I think yesterday or the day before, where they were going to be pulling ammunition from all of their stores to not, you know, allow civil unrest to be an issue. And then like I just saw an article today that said that they are restocking their ammunition, saying that the civil unrest was only in one area, not broad scale. And so like, like Walmart pulling ammunition, I mean, that's, and then putting it back, like that's the kind of stuff when you know that's happening, you know, when something as huge as Walmart is moving and preparing or shifting or however you want to call it, it just seems like something significant is on the horizon. And I do think even the process itself, you know, with mail-in voting and you know, we, I mean, who knows, we might be into December without even knowing who's really president, you know. I really have no idea how it's going to turn out, but one thing I am certain of is that a lot of people are having a lot of different thoughts, fears, and anxieties, and hopes even wrapped up in all of it. And whoever wins or loses, regardless, people are going to be impacted. They're going to feel the effect of that. And I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be a hard moment for our country, regardless. I really sense that.
I'm thinking about the everything you just said, and mostly the response that we as citizens or voters or whoever just lives here in this country, if you're not in the United States, then I guess it doesn't really apply. But I wonder, this is a question that I'm asking you, JD. All right, let me step back. I feel like the inevitability of civil unrest in one sense is because we place so much faith and hope into the results of this election. And for me, it's like, if whoever I vote for doesn't become president, I mean, it's kind of a shame, I guess, but is it worth me going out there protesting? What is that going to do? And like, I just have all these thoughts that ultimately kind of question, like, what is the point? Is it even worth the civil unrest from my specific perspective? And like, that leads me to wonder, like, are we putting too much emphasis on this election? Not that it's not important, right? Obviously it's very important, but are we overdoing it? What do you think?
No, I honestly think, I think the view and the perspective is different from where we are at the table. You know, I think that there are significant people in our country, and I'm thinking about like, I'm thinking about the Dreamers. I'm thinking about, you know, the Black community. I'm thinking about rural farmers. Even I'm thinking about factory workers. You know, there are significant people in our country who feel a lot of frustration, even anger, over some of the issues that have plagued them for the last few years, or even longer than that. And they're naturally, maybe not naturally, but they are assuming, right, that their candidate is going to help make life better for them. And maybe it's a misguided hope. I don't want to judge that hope, because I think it's, you know, we have this privilege of voting, and we have this ability to use our voice and use our power in a significant way, and we should. And so I don't want to say it's a misguided hope, but I do want to recognize though that behind that desire for change is a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. Like, these are real people's stories. These are real families who have been affected, loved ones who have been taken away, kids who haven't seen their parents, and families who've had to make hard choices because the farming isn't what it used to be, and crop wasn't great this year, and all of what the government does and doesn't do affects lives for millions of people in America, and some could say even around the world. And I feel like that's what's really tricky about all of this, is that for some people, they're going to be like, regardless of who the candidate is, my life is pretty okay. I'm going to be okay. And for other people, they're like, no, like, this candidate is going to be significant in a positive or negative way for me and my family. And that is what is driving a lot of the unrest and the anxiety. I think there is a question here, right? Do our politicians and does the way that our government function really affect our everyday lives that much? And that's an interesting question to think about. I would say the answer is probably yes and no. But for those who feel like they've been profoundly affected, it's a place of pain and heartache for them. And because of that, it's a place of fear, right, regarding what's going to happen. So, yeah, I think it depends on where you are at the table, where I am at the table, and how it affects us and doesn't affect us. For some people, they're going to be like, I'm not even at the table, and this is why it matters to me. And for others, it's going to be like, either way, my life kind of continues. And that's just the nature of politics, I think.
Man, yesterday I had a conversation with a friend of mine. I feel like every conversation that I have, I play devil's advocate a little bit. And what I mean by that, if someone is very for Trump, and then I'll be the one that kind of breaks down why he's a bad idea, or I'll question. I don't want to break down anybody's arguments per se. Like, my goal is just to get you to think about the things that maybe you haven't thought about, or maybe you've thought about way more than me, and that's great. And then the flip side, if someone's pro Biden, then I would ask the same questions, right? And there's a pretty close friend of mine that I always have pretty deep conversations with, and these days it's been political because of the situation, the season that we're in. And I don't know. I feel like one of the things that I want to remind people, including myself, after whatever happens today, right? Today, if you're listening to this, is going to be November 3rd or after. There's going to be, honestly, I don't know if someone will be like officially, announced as a president, because just the way the situation is turning out. But let's say someone is elected president, and it may go your way, or it may not. And the thing that I would want people to really think about is how are you conducting yourself and living your life in light of your candidate not getting elected or getting elected? And then how are you treating the other side? How are you continuing to engage with the other side? And the reason why I put it that way is because my friend is, we're both so moderate. It's hard to tell who's what or for who. But like, because I'm so used to challenging him and he's so used to challenging me, we have these conversations. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, one person wins, quote unquote wins, one person quote unquote loses. Now what? And I feel like that's the question that we really have to be able to answer. And if we can't answer that correctly, but in a way where we can harmoniously exist and move together as a country united, then we're going to have a lot of problems. Not just this election, but moving forward as a country, as a whole, it's going to be tough. And I guess, sorry, I'm a little bit rambling at this point, but from your perspective, JD, let's say your candidate does not get elected. almost, I feel like a lot of people, they have close enough people around them who are not on the same page with them politically, and they're going to continue to engage with them, hopefully. But what are some pointers and things that we can remember moving forward as we engage with the people that are different from us? And what's a way to do that productively?
Yeah, I love that question. And, you know, it's something I was thinking about as I was talking about the fact that around these issues and around who gets elected are connected to them are the stories of real lives people and real lives families. I think it's important for us, like part of why we've gotten here and part of why we're so divided is because we are so quick as a country, as citizens of the same country, to just dismiss someone else's experience as being not true because we ourselves, or I myself, did not go through it. If we're so quick to be like, oh, that can't be true because, you know, I didn't go through that or they didn't go through that. And it really comes to, we've talked about this and we talk about this every week, our inability to listen, our inability to pay attention and to be aware of the other, and just to allow their experience to be what it is, to exist because they exist. It's our inability to do that that creates all these divisions. And I really think that regardless of who wins, what we have to do if we want to be united as a country is we have to stop allowing that inability to become the first thing that determines how we're going to treat the other side. Like, we need to figure out a way of just being like, you know what, they're a fellow human being. They're a brother, they're a sister. And excuse language, but we need to give a damn about what they're saying and what their experiences are, rather than just being like, well, they must make that up, or it's not true, or worse, you know, let me oppress that or suppress it and get rid of it so that I can continue living the way that I want. We have to get to a point, I really believe, where we can genuinely start listening to each other, you know, because even if you think about 2016, right? One of the things that we started seeing that we hadn't seen before was rural America show up in ways to vote. And the reflection of that wasn't just that they wanted to vote all of a sudden, but they felt like there was a candidate who had heard what they had been saying for so long, that they were hurting and that their families were not being cared for in the ways that they believe that they should be. And we need to listen to that regardless of where we are in our politics. And so going forward, there's going to be an impact and disappointment and heartache either way. And I think what we have to start doing is saying, okay, how do we acknowledge each other as human beings? How do we acknowledge where we are? And then how do we move forward together in a way that benefits everyone, not just us and those we like?
You know, it's crazy, man. I think we've gone backwards, I feel like. Because there was a point where in our history, our country was united. And I feel like, actually, this was a conversation that I was having yesterday with that friend of mine, where like the reason why America is a great country, and which I still believe it's a great country, it's a great place to live and be a citizen. I'm a proud American, right? But the reason why I feel like America, the United States of America, is such a great country is because of the diversity. People have said this before too, right? Like it's the differences of opinion, the different ideas, the different cultures, all these different things coming together in one place that makes our country so great. But the difference between way back when it was a great unified country to now, where it's become so divided, is not that there's more differences now, it's that the different perspectives are not willing to do what you just said, which is listen and acknowledge the existence of the other parties and just be together and work together towards a common goal. And like we were talking about an extreme conversation yesterday where this is not a communist nation. We're not controlled by the government to all be brainwashed, think the same way. And because of that, and because we're able to embrace the differences and diversity, that's how we've advanced to be where we're at. And if we can do that again, like that's kind of like, that's the core identity of this country, right? It started off as people rebelling from England, blah, 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 all this revolutionary history crap. And now we're a place where all these different people groups, blah, 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 differences in types of people come together and not give up their differences, right? I'm here as a Korean American, American citizen, US citizen, whatever you want to call it, but I still have my Koreanness, my Korean American background. And because of that, I can contribute to society as a whole because I had that unique experience. And like, everybody brings something different, but until we can learn to appreciate the differences and grow from each other's differences and together with the differences and all the diversity move together towards the same goal, which is ideally to quote unquote, make America great again, not to promote either campaign, right? This is word for word. Let's create a better country for everyone to live in. That, why can't we do that? Like what's, how do we get back to this place? And I know the answer is listening. And I know that's what you're going to say because we're all about, and it's true. But let's elaborate on that, especially in light of these quote unquote divisive elections coming up. Or did we just elaborate on that? I don't know, man. I'm just.
Yeah. You know, I actually love where you just brought this conversation because I think that part of how we got here is that somehow we have forgotten that our diversity is a strength and not a threat. And when we start believing that that diversity is a threat, and that we have to now be the exact same, when we start telling people, and I've heard, I'm an American citizen, I've been one for a long time, and I immigrated here when I was 7 from Korea, and then I became a citizen. But I've heard people say like, you know, if you're gonna come to our country, you should assimilate here. And that kind of language is saying that diversity, that difference is not welcome here, that you have to become like us and become one with us. And it's seeing diversity as a threat. Rather, if we could start seeing diversity as a strength, if we could start living into that beautiful image of everyone being a part of this collective goal, if we can genuinely believe that there's more that unites us together than what divides us, you know, I really feel like then we can start moving forward and we can really start growing as a country. I had this really interesting conversation with a friend of mine. She's white and in her 60s. And we were just talking about a few different things. And she was talking about being American. And she was saying, you know, as an American, like, you know, she's like, there's American holidays and there's American culture and American norms and all these things. And if people come here, they should kind of learn that. And she was saying it genuinely, like well-intentioned. And I said, well, here's the problem. Like you've got Chinese Americans and you've got Japanese Americans who've been here for multi-generations. And so when you think of 4th of July in America, you might be thinking of like, 4th of July, and you might be thinking of like, you know, like firecrackers and grilled stuff and things like that. But for a different family, they might be thinking of
Monday.
Yeah. They might be thinking of like Chinese food, you mm-hmm. know, like they might be like their vision of what America is and what they do at those holidays might be very different from the good old times or the good old memories of what America represents. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her even about Chinese food, right? This is kind of a tangent comment, but I think it's important to say. Like everyone knows that the Chinese food that we eat in America is called Americanized Chinese food. Like wow. It was developed for an American palate, right? But we still call it Chinese food, even though it's American food. Like if you go to, I've had Americans who are like, oh, I love Chinese food. And then they'll go to China on an overseas trip and eat food in China and be like, I can't eat this stuff. It's nothing like what I've ate back home. This is not Chinese food. And it's like, no. Like what you're eating in China is Chinese food, like authentic. It's because what we eat in America is actually Americanized Chinese food. But see, no one says that's American food, uh-huh. right? Even though every like mainland Chinese person who comes over here and eats it is like, this is not what I eat back in my country. And so I feel like that's the tension, right? Is like, what do we do with that diversity? How do we acknowledge? Like, it's really the paradox of saying we are the same and we are different. And that's a beautiful thing. It's not a threat to be the same and to be different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a threat. It's actually a strength that like what unifies us is not just our culture or the things we do, but there's something deeper than that. And I feel like if we could listen to each other, acknowledge each other, then yeah, like to your point, you know, we would have a way of embracing that diversity.
I want to go back to that assimilation piece a little bit. Because I've heard that in said in different ways, talking about different things, different aspects of like, you should learn our whole culture and basically be exactly the same as us, right? And to that extreme, I feel like, I don't really agree with that. But then there's other things where I do feel like as an American, there are core principles that are that are just American. Like, I keep thinking of the idea of liberty and freedom, right? This country is founded upon freedom and liberty. And this is one, this in this particular case, I feel like if you are, wherever you're coming from, because you're coming to a country that is founded upon freedom and liberty and continues to make that a core part of its identity, that's something that you should, in my opinion, kind of, I don't know if assimilate is the right word here, but learn to embrace as you are coming here because it's such a core part of the country. Now, does freedom, it may look different to somebody who's from Korea. It may look different from, wherever you're from, it might look a little bit different, but I do feel like there is a kind of a thin line between where we should quote unquote assimilate and adapt the values because these are the foundational principles of the nation. And like, you know, I've heard people rudely say, if you don't like it, just leave, right? Go to a different country. And depending on what they're talking about, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, like, you know, I get that. Like, hey, you don't like that it's 50 states, then go to a different country. It's like, okay, that's not that big of a deal, right?
Right.
But if we're talking about like core principles that the nation is founded upon, and I keep going back to freedom because like everything kind of fits in my mind as America being the land of the free. And we come to this country as diverse people, but within that principle of freedom, like I'm Korean American and I'm living under the principle of freedom, but I'm bringing all my diverse experiences and all my differences towards this. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe there's not one principle that this country stands for, right? So it's not like this is our goal as a nation and we'll evaluate all your differences under that one goal. So that's where it becomes difficult. And this is why we have to have conversations, man. This is why I hate talking to you about these things because it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and we never get anywhere. But I guess my whole point with this little rant here is that even with the assimilation aspect, I feel like it's kind of a spectrum, right? Like I think you shouldn't expect someone to come here and then adapt to everything and just become the same because that's not what it means to appreciate diversity. And by doing that, you're not growing from each other. But at the same time, there are some things that I think you should take upon yourself and think about and evaluate. Is this where you want to be? Because if this is what America stands for, you don't like it, maybe it's just not the place for you. Like, just to be very frank.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that. I think that is, you know, goes back to the paradox of being same and being different. Mm. You know, that both of those statements can be true and we can embrace that. You know, here's the thing about freedom and about the founding ideas of our country that's really profound and that I've had to really think about. Mm-hmm. You know, in 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was written, I mean, those words that were penned by Thomas Jefferson were beautiful and they were profound and they spoke truth. And at the same time, our country was still engaged in the practice of slavery. Mm-hmm. And so even though we wrote those words that all men were created equal, it didn't apply to those Black men and Black women and Black children in the same way. And I feel like that when I think about our history, and I've been relearning our history and rethinking about our history, I think that we have this like profound opportunity now to really live into those ideas and ideals in ways that we haven't before. Maybe even more so than they were when they first were written, because we can actually fight for equality for all. We can actually say that is something that we don't want to just say applies to a certain group of people. Well, because those people over there, they're not people, but mm-hmm. we're people. I think that like for those of us who have history to teach us, and for those of us who have history to be our guide, we can say, you know what? Those were great ideas, and maybe we haven't lived into it as deeply and as profoundly as we can, and we have the opportunity now to make it right. And some might say I'm an idealist. I'm really not. If you know me, I'm more of a realist. I can even be cynical at times. But I really believe that with what's happening just in, on the everyday in the lives of people and the responses that we've seen, people are realizing that these ideals and these freedoms are going to come at a cost. And they themselves are willing to stand up and pay that cost in whatever small way it is. And if we keep doing that, if everyday people make small everyday costs to stand up for these ideas that make up America and that make America the best country in the world, and I really believe that we could change and be united. And so that's what we do, right? We work every day to try to live more deeper, more connected, and we just see what happens after that.
I mean, let's end it right there, right? Today is the 3rd, and president is coming. Whoever it is, whether you like him or not, don't matter. He's there to lead the country, but you gotta understand the country is not this one person. The country is the millions and millions and millions of people around you that you're living together with. They're going to be different types of people. They're going to be people coming from different walks of life. They're going to prioritize different things across the spectrum, the same spectrum that you're prioritizing things. And at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that they hate you just because you disagree. And it doesn't even mean that they're invalidating what you're saying because they're validating something else. I think that's a problem that we have as well, which we won't get into. But after this day, after this process, if we can continue to move forward, and like JD said, just learn to listen. Let's not say learn. Let's say practice, right? Like practice practically shutting your mouth and trying to listen to the other's perspective without letting your opinion override whatever's going on in your brain. And it does take practice. And like, man, when we can do this, honestly, it won't matter who's president because our communities are going to be so much stronger than the culture that's being impressed upon us. We're going to create our own culture and then go bottom up, right? So man, as we wrap up, what you got?
Yeah, you know, I think that right now, like, we're all dealing with this pandemic. And it's absolutely true that those who have more resources or more privilege or more wealth may not be affected the same way as others who don't have those things are. At the same time, the pandemic, it affects everyone, right? And just know that people out there are hurting. You know, the people out there are suffering. And just know that, like, behind the way that someone votes or the way that someone thinks, there's probably some story that's very personally connected to why they are motivated the way they are. Maybe it's connected to the family they grew up in or an experience they had or the job that they just lost or their loved one who was taken away or who knows what it is. You know, like, don't generalize and assume that people are just, you know, these set of ideas and everything that people say they are and they aren't. But let's allow each person to kind of stick out and listen and hear. And, you know, regardless of what happens today on election day, when you hear this, like, the country's going to keep moving forward. And if it has to happen from the bottom up, like Paul just said, I mean, that's how revolution starts. It's how change starts.
All right. That's it for today, guys. Again, we thank you for your feedback. We thank you for listening. It still blows my mind that people actually listen to this.
It's very humbling. Like,
who are you people and why are you here? Because we're glad you're here. So sorry for all the stupid stuff that we say from time to time, but that's what you get if you listen to us. What was I going to say? What do we usually say at the end? Oh, connect with us. Connect with us at operation.academy.com, operation.academy on Instagram. We have our personal handles on the podcast show notes as well if you want to connect and just ask questions or berate us, whatever you want to do. Like, we're there, and for the most part we'll probably respond. Yeah, guys, that's it.
And if you like this podcast or if it engaged your mind or life in a certain way, share it, let someone else know about it, And like we said, just give us feedback if you want to talk about stuff, and we're always grateful.
Yes, sir. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.